We may live over 5,000 miles from Lincoln Financial Field, but what we lack in proximity, we make up for in the film study. And each and every week, we'll be bringing you in-depth film breakdowns from across the pond and the Sooner State. Welcome to On the Shane Page. I am your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter at Shane Half NFL. And I am joined by BGN's own resident film guru, Johnny Page. Give him a follow on Twitter at JohnnyPage9. Johnny, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I was just thinking about what to mention, as I always like to start with something random. Firstly, that song has got in my head already, the introduction song. It's only been played about four times. And a few weeks ago, I had a lovely tea and I forgot my Eagles mug and I said I would remember it. So today I have similar. This is straight from Philly. I think I had this mug since 2016 and it didn't break on the plane. It didn't break getting it home. I haven't dropped it while washing up. So I think that is a success to have a glass or a mug that has lasted 8 years from Philly. So there you go. Except for that, I'm good. I'm excited for this one. This is a very offensive draft, isn't it? But at the start, but actually, I feel like the further you get down, defense sort of takes over, maybe in the mid rounds for me. I like a lot of the offensive talent higher up. So yeah, I think this will be a good one. But anyway, how are you? I think you're going to mention about the reaction to the podcast as well, which has been sort of wild in some ways. I know you're going to talk about some of the reviews and some of the things we're doing, but you mentioned last week, like during the show, we had about 500 people listen, which considering we record random times because I am not an American, as many people can hear, that sort of blew my mind. So yeah, thank you so much if you are listening, and I'll leave it to you to talk about some of the specifics of what we're going to do moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing great. Excited to talk day one and two defensive draft prospects. So if you listened to last week's show, you kind of know the format. We talked trade up candidates on offense and in the first round, we talked about who could be there at 22, and then we talked about some day two people as well. We're going to do that on the defensive side of the ball as well today. And Johnny mentioned this is a very offensive draft. Johnny, do you know what the record is for most offensive players selected in the first round of a draft?
21 is a guess.
You're not far off. It's 19. All right. But the over-under on sports books for first-round offensive selections this year is 21.5. And so wow, even going under by one or two would set the NFL record. So this is going to likely be a very offense heavy first round. Fortunately, you know, most people think the Eagles need a lot of defense. And so those guys might slide down the boards. But before we get into that, I do want to thank you guys for all of the reviews. We have 19 ratings on Apple iTunes. I am still not sure how to check that on Spotify, but if you're watching this show live, please go subscribe to the podcasting platforms as well and give us rating and reviews as a new podcasting feed. That's really integral in getting the show out there to more people. We also mentioned last week we set up a PayPal and a Cash App now that we're independent, paying for our own podcast hosting and things. So we are on PayPal and Cash App on the Shane Page. You can look us up there. There are links to that in my pinned tweets if you would like to contribute to the show. We did have some people reach out about a subscription option, and so we also set up a Patreon that I posted on Twitter in the second post under my pinned tweet. You guys can check that out. It's also on the Shane Page, and we've got two different tiers there. There is a $3 tier that gets you access to a Discord server that Johnny and I set up that we can hang out and chat in. And then there's a $5 tier if you would like to subscribe to that too. And that one's going to give you some creative influence on the podcast. When we get into the regular season, we'll put up polls each week for like a specific player that you want us to focus on as a point in our film review podcast. And so whichever one most of you vote for, we'll make sure we do a point dedicated to that player. We may also let you suggest some show topics in the summertime. And we're going to be recording a monthly mailbag episode that does not have to be football questions. It can be. And subscribers to that tier will get that podcast and be able to submit questions. So we're open to other ideas for tiers as well. If you guys have ideas of rewards you would like to put into that, let us know. We're all ears. We want to make that as worthwhile for you guys as possible to thank you, those of you that do support the show in that way. But to reiterate, podcast is free. It's going to stay free. We want to continue to put that out there, but this is just a way you can support the show.
Yeah, wicked. I think you summed that all up nicely. And we'll tweet more about it in the future. So let's get into it, because otherwise I will go for 2 hours on this last, Shane. Because as you know, I don't talk prospects basically on any other podcast ever. I know you do a lot more. So I have got a lot to say, which is not surprising if people listen to this podcast. So do you want to start us off? Where do you want to begin? Same as last week? Anyone you want to trade up for? But I'll leave the intro to you. Where do you want to begin?
Yeah, let's start with trade up candidates in the first round. And I will throw two names at you. They're number 10 and 11 overall on my big board. They play the same position. It's a position the Eagles really need, and it's cornerbacks Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo and cornerback Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Now, I have Quinyon Mitchell slightly higher than Terrion Arnold. I think they are both excellent prospects, though. I know there's some concerns with Quinyon Mitchell for some people about, you know, he played at Toledo, and I mean, he did exactly what you want a guy playing at a small school to do, and that's just utterly dominate his competition. He led FBS in forced incompletions over the last two seasons. Per PFF, this season, he had the highest coverage grade in man coverage and the fourth highest in zone coverage. He didn't give up a touchdown in 2023. Now, the one knock on Quinyon Mitchell, which I don't think really applies to the Eagles at all, is he's really inexperienced in press coverage. That's not something Toledo ever really did. The Eagles don't really play press coverage either. It's a lot of off man. It's a lot of pattern match zone coverage. And so I don't think that's that big of a knock. I really like Quinyon Mitchell. I have him slightly higher than Terrion Arnold. Would you be comfortable trading up for either of those guys? And how do you stack those two guys up on your board?
Yeah, this is a weird class because, as you said, everyone's good on offense in the first round, yet there wasn't many guys that I think are realistic trade-up targets. Whereas I think on defense, I probably wouldn't say five. I think I could potentially be content with possibly moving up for as many as four guys. Two of the guys that I had mentioned, so we'll start with the two you mentioned. Yeah, I would be. I have Terrion Arnold slightly ahead, but I'll be honest, I don't really have like any difference in them. And to be honest, part of that is just because everything I seem to read about him just as a person and his interviews just seem awesome. So I've sort of fallen in love with him off the field as well. I said the same about both. Literally, my major weakness for Quinyon Mitchell was I said he will sometimes get beaten and he needs to work on his hands in press coverage. He is better in off coverage as it stands, which is where he excels. And I wrote in my Eagles comments that I think his skill set fits the Fangio system perfectly. So the issue is, I do not think either of them will be there. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, I think, ran a 4.33 40 as well, and he has great film, so he's never lasting to around 22. I agree with you. The problem the Eagles have got is without that third round pick, I know they've got 2 seconds, but they've got so many needs. It's hard to give up a lot to move up. I almost feel like if they move up in the first, you then have to move back down later on to try and build some more picks in those mid rounds. But the two cornerbacks you mentioned, I would trade up for. Not hugely. I probably wouldn't go more than 5 or 6 spots just because of how few picks the Eagles have got. But I would be fully on board with either of them. Sorry, I think both of them fit really well. I think Arnold's issue is the slightly slow 40. But again, I think he fits the Fangio defense. He's a really smooth athlete. He's got great hips. He's really strong at the catch point. I think he can do a little bit of inside-outside versatility. They are not my favorite target, Shane. You know who my favorite target is. Anyone who's followed me on Twitter knows who my favorite target is. So it helps if I pronounce his name correctly. I would give up a lot for Leiatu Leiatu, if I pronounce him correctly. Seriously high. Like, I would be talking not like New Orleans Saints future first style, but I would give up a decent amount to get him. If the medical is fine, I think he's the best defensive player on the board by a distance. I think he's really, really, really good as a pass rusher. Lines up on both sides of the field, tested really well. The thing that stands out to him is that sometimes you get guys coming out of college who win. I always think basically people win in two ways in college. They're either so athletic, they just run around the corner at a tackle because the tackle's not athletic enough to deal with them, or they physically overwhelm defenders and they just run through them. And the problem I always get is, right, are you going to be able to run around Jason Peters the same way you ran around college and tackles in college? Well, no. Are you going to be able to bull rush guys like Lane Johnson when you get to the NFL? Probably not. So you need to have a little bit more about you. And the way he uses his hands, like, he doesn't win with athleticism only. He wins with technique. He wins with skill. He's so coordinated as an athlete, like the feet and the hands sort of sync up. He just looks like he does everything incredibly well. So he's my guy. Like, the second I watched him, I was like, well, this is my guy. I think he's a top 10 talent. I would take him. If it wasn't for the medical stuff, if I was a team in the top 10, I would take him easily. The other guys I wanted your opinion on, there's two. So there are
okay, let me chime in. Let me chime in.
Yeah, all right, you go first. I mean, I'll ask you about, I think there's only two other guys I would potentially move up for, but maybe one. But let me know your thoughts on him, seeing as I could do a whole podcast on this guy, because he is, inverted quotes, my guy for this draft.
All right. First of all, comment coming in from Twitter from Eagles Eric says the Eagles met with Quinyon Mitchell at the Senior Bowl and they had a top 30 visit with Terrion Arnold. So if you follow along with that stuff, which those visits have been indicative of Eagles draft selections in the past, more so than other teams, they have that going for them. Also, you guys that are watching live, feel free to drop comments. Let us know what you think of these prospects as well. But you mentioned the medical concerns with Leiatu Latu, and just so everybody's on the same page, people might not know, Leiatu Latu played for Washington as a freshman in 2019 and then sustained a major neck injury in fall practices in 2020. And the team doctors told him that he would never play football again because he had lingering numbness in his neck that didn't go away. So after another season, he transferred to UCLA and he worked his way back onto the field. He eventually received clearance to play. And he's played two full seasons since then. 2022, he had 10.5 sacks. 2023, he had 21.5 tackles for loss and 13 sacks. He was PFF's highest graded edge rusher. And they have a stat called true pass set situations, which is a drop back pass. So no play action, no RPOs, where the ball is held for 2.5 seconds. He had a pass rush win rate in those situations of 40.7%. which is just kind of mind-boggling, and that led the country. For me, I try to remove the medical concerns when I evaluate a player because I don't have access to those medicals and teams do, which feels like a bit of a cop-out when it's a guy like Latu that I think would be edge one for everyone if there were no medical concerns. But ultimately, I just come down on he's played two full seasons with no issues. And so to me, I'm just not that concerned about it. Now, maybe he falls in the draft. Maybe this is an Akobe Dean type situation where he's sitting there in the late second round and you're like, okay, it's obviously medically related. But I think he's a phenomenal player. He's a fluid mover. He can bend around the edge on offensive tackles. He's got a lot of pass rush counter moves. He can convert speed to power. He's got some deficiencies in the run game. He's trying to make plays and he'll lose gap discipline to go try to make a play. And sometimes you get some of those 21.5 tackles for loss. And sometimes you leave cutback lanes that get exploited. But I would be a huge fan of a trade up for Latu. He's the number 9 player on my board. And Johnny, you might appreciate, well, rugby is not really a thing in England, right?
Rugby's huge in England. Okay. Wow. Lack of knowledge, Shane. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. All of our UK listeners, please forgive me. But Leiatu Latu played rugby in high school. And he said that if the money was the same, he would prefer to play rugby to football. So, you know, maybe he falls because doesn't love the game enough. I don't know. NFL players have fallen for sillier reasons from decision makers, but I thought that was funny.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I must admit, I knew he played rugby, but I didn't know about the comment about preferring it. Right. Before we spend half an hour on just the top trade up candidates, I'll give you two more that I'm interested in. I don't actually think I trade up for either of these, but I'll throw them out there as they're on the borderline to me. Another edge, Dallas Turner from Alabama. I think most people know about him already. Replaced Will Anderson this year with 13 sacks. Wingspan's off the charts, tested well. First step, speed to power, athletic traits, everything's there. What I really like about Anderson is that he showed the ability to drop. Sorry, Anderson. What I really like about Turner is that he showed the ability to drop into coverage as well at times, although not as well as a guy who I like in the second round. I, however, don't think he will be anywhere near, because I think he'll go early, because when you're an Alabama defensive edge and you get 13 sacks and you replace with Anderson, I think you'll go earlier. There's a name that I don't see come up And I don't really know why, because I don't follow the, I mean, I watch a lot of these prospects, but I maybe don't follow the draft as closely, being from the UK, and I don't really know about these guys until I watch them. I believe his nickname is Johnny Newton, even though it's not spelt like that. And I think he's fantastic on the defensive line. Like, I think he's really, really good, but he has an injury and he didn't perform at the combine because of it, which means we don't have testing numbers. I believe it's an ankle injury as well, which is a bit of a concern, just sort of whether it will have any long-term impacts. But I think his film is awesome. Like, 300 pounds, great size, twitchy, wins early. He's always the guy jumping first off the line. Great leverage, great hand movement. You can stick him out wide on the edge if you want. He can play three technique. He can play five technique. He's got flexibility. Top 10 in pressures, hits and sacks this year. Just a really good all-round pass rusher. And if the Eagles wanted to just really build up the defensive line, like, Jordan Davis alongside Jalen Carter and Johnny Newton in odd fronts would be awesome. And then third down, Johnny Newton and Jalen Carter lining up inside, that's a really interesting thought. But then I read a tweet from, I think it was Peter Schrager, who said there are six guys on the defensive side that are guaranteed basically to go first round. And he wasn't mentioned. So am I missing something there? Am I higher on this guy than consensus? What is the deal with Newton? Because I must admit, he was someone that I would have considered trading up for. I think positional scarcity in terms of the Eagles need a lot of other positions. I maybe would not want to move up for a defensive tackle, considering Milton Williams, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Jomo. Out of those two guys, do any of them appeal to you moving up, or Dallas Turner and Johnny Newton? What are your thoughts on these two? And then we'll get into maybe some of the other picks at 22 on the defensive side.
Yeah, I don't think, outside of Latu Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, I don't think there's anybody I would move up for. I do like Johnny Newton, Jerzan Newton out of Illinois. I have seen also smoke of him potentially falling to the end of the first round or out of the first round. I wouldn't trade up for him. I would love him as a pick at 22. As much as Eagles fans would not like a defensive tackle pick in the first round for the third year in a row, but he's a high-level athlete. He's got a lot of tools in the tool chest as a pass rusher. He can win with speed, power, or technique. I think the reason that you see him falling potentially is he is undersized for an NFL defensive tackle. So at 6'1 and a half, that's only 17th percentile for a defensive tackle. And he's only got 22nd percentile arm length. And I think if he tested, I think he would test well, and that would maybe bolster him a little bit. But as you mentioned, he didn't test, do athletic testing. So no relative athletic score, no sexy 40 time to help bolster that. And so I personally think he's strong enough at the point of attack. Like, he's not a guy, he's a guy that he's going to get washed out by double teams. But if you try to block him one-on-one, I think he's more than adequate as a run defender in that respect. And for the Eagles specifically, you know, if you employ Jordan Davis, you can put Jerzan Newton beside him and reasonably expect that Davis is the guy that's going to be double teamed. If Davis is off the field, you can still reasonably expect that Jalen Carter is the guy that's going to be double teamed. So Newton is a guy that I would be totally fine with at 22. He's the 19th ranked player on my big board. He's the number one defensive tackle for me. Although I think in league circles, Byron Murphy out of Texas has leapfrogged him. And I think that's coincided with Newton falling off some.
And I agree with that. By the way, I'll put in my note, he's a little light. He can be moved in the run game by larger guards. But again, this is where scheme fit matters. He's not going to be like a one technique for the Eagles. He's going to be a three technique or a five technique or a four eye technique in odd fronts. And he's going to be playing alongside two very large human beings, one extremely large human being in Jordan Davis. So I don't think he'll face a lot of doubles. I don't think you're drafting him for a great run defender, if we're being honest. I think you're hoping that he can rush the quarterback. I can see the comment coming on. I was going to mention that. I agree to an extent. He does get pushed back in run defense. He probably isn't someone that can take double teams. Again, that's not really an issue for me right now, looking at the Eagles personnel, because I think they've got other defensive tackles that will soak up double teams rather than Newton. What about Dallas Turner? Are you assuming he's just gone way before the Eagles, so not really relevant, or you would trade up for him? Or
Both. I think he's gone, and also I probably wouldn't trade up for him. So he's the number 14 player on my big board. He's actually my edge three. I have him one slot behind Jared Verse. But I just wouldn't, I don't think I would trade up for either of those guys with what's invested in the defensive line right now. I would do it for Latu because I think he's a complete game changer. And when you look at Turner and when you look at Verse, like, I think they're good players. They're top 15 players for me. It's just not a position that I would personally want the Eagles trading up for.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll give you a few other names then and let me know what you think, whether you agree, disagree. On defense, I haven't actually got a huge amount, as we've mentioned before. I would consider Byron Murphy. Sort of similar reasons to Johnny Newton. I still would like another defensive tackle if possible. Great athlete, first in pass rush, win percentage, defensive tackles, wins early, great leverage. He's not just a free technique, in my opinion. I think he needs to improve his play against the run. He's a little light, and I'm not sure he'll be a three down player early on, but I think he would be tempting if he's there, but I don't expect him to be.
There has been smoke. Really interesting. There's been smoke around Byron Murphy going number 9 to the Bears, potentially being a top enough. 10 pick.
That would be early for me, but I can see it, because anyone that's explosive and can win and get pressure up the middle, we know those guys go early. The ones I'm interested about are cornerbacks. So the other ones I would consider are the three corners, basically. Cooper DeJean, if that's how you pronounce his name. Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry. Whether they're all great picks at 22 is debatable. DeJean's the one I can't make my mind up on. Everyone seems to have a different opinion on him. I think he's a corner who's a little stiff, but I think he will live at corner. I see people saying he's a safety. I think you could play him anywhere. I just think he's a really good football player. Like, that's the way I describe him. I just think he's a great athlete and he's a great player. So I think I would be happy with him, and you sort of figure it out when you get him in the building. Then you've obviously got Nate Wiggins, who is really small, really undersized. Can he hold up outside? Will he survive at 173 pounds? But really quick, really athletic, really good length. I really like him in off coverage as well, with his like click and close when the ball's in the air. Again, I think I'd be content with him, maybe not first choice. And McKinstry, I see as like just the average athlete who's not as fluid, but he's just really smart. He's just a really, really knowledgeable player, great in run support, natural instincts, great ball skills. But the testing's just not really top. Do I see an elite corner with McKinstry? Probably not. I probably see an average to above average starting corner. They're the only really names I've got. I'm a little lower on Jared Verse. I'd be more like rounds 1 to 2 personally. So outside of Murphy, I've only really got a few cornerbacks I'd consider in that round. What do you think of the guys I've mentioned? Where do you rank them? And is there anyone else you want to throw out there before we move on to sort of maybe late one, early round two that I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, let's go to a couple comments first. Miss Chris on YouTube says that she thinks Howie's going to go after Terrion Arnold. And the Eagles have certainly done a lot of work on cornerbacks, and they've shown a penchant for drafting from the SEC. So that wouldn't surprise me. She also says that she hopes all the QB needy teams dive in for all the quarterbacks and you get guys tumbling down the boards to the Eagles, which could also certainly happen. So as for the cornerbacks, Cooper DeJean is my number 3 cornerback by a pretty good margin. He's number 18 overall on my big board. I think he's a cornerback. Now, I think he can also play safety, which is a really nice thing to have. He started his career at safety before he moved to cornerback, and he is excellent in zone coverage. And he's a ball hawk. He's got 7 interceptions in the last 2 years, and 3 of them he returned for touchdowns. He triggers downfield in the running game really well. And so, you know, if you look at this guy coming off the roof from the safety position, he can, you know, play zone, he can come off the roof, and he can trigger into the run game, run support, which certainly helps an Eagles run defense that wasn't very good last year. I don't think you want him in the slot, but if you put him in the slot, I mean, he checks that run defender box. I would prefer to play him at boundary corner, though. And he's surrendered 0 touchdowns in 2023. In 2022, he was the only cornerback with an 85 plus grade from PFF in coverage and as a run defender. He's also got value as a return man. So he had 11.5 yards per return and a touchdown in 2023. And so not that you draft a guy in the first round because of that, but when you think about the new kickoff rules, which makes it play out more like a punt a little bit, or more like a running play, really. And you think about punt returning, something the Eagles have not had a plus at. Cooper DeJean checks that box too. Now he is coming off a fractured fibula in mid-November, but he did his athletic testing. He has a 9.89 RAS, so you can reasonably expect he's all the way back from that. I get the concerns about some of the stiffness in his hips and allowing separation in man coverage at times, but I'm willing to overlook that because I just think he's an elite zone player, and I think the Eagles can find a use for him. And I'm fascinated with the idea of having both Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Cooper DeJean on the field at the same time. Both guys who have backgrounds at safety and at corner that makes you a little bit interchangeable, and it gives Fangio just a chess piece that he can do things with.
Yeah, for what it's worth, if I had to pick a player now, he would be my predicted player that the Eagles take. Whether it's 22 or whether he goes early, I think he's a really, really good schematic fit. If they are desperate for a corner, and I think there's been a lot of comments about this, I think it's pretty clear from all the reports that are out there that they're going to target corner heavily. Very quickly, what do you think of the other two guys I mentioned in Wiggins and McKinstry? I feel like I'm similar to you, maybe not high enough to take him at 22, but also wouldn't hate it. Where are you? Are you far lower than me or are you similar?
Yeah, Wiggins scares me a bit. I have him ranked ahead of McKinstry for his athleticism, 4.28 40. He's probably one of the best cover corners in this class, but he's only 100. He's 88th percentile height for cornerbacks and second percentile weight. He total disinterest in tackling and in run support. He had a 13.3% missed tackle rate in 2023. And that just scares me for a team that, you know, we talked about, especially like after the 49ers game last year, showing plays where there were like four missed tackles on a play that should have been a 5-yard pass. And that just concerns me a bit. And he's got a frame that could hold more mass. I don't know what that does to his explosiveness. Eagles Eric says he put on 10 pounds for his pro day. And, you know, players can do that. The question is, you didn't play at that weight your whole college career, and presumably you did it for a reason. So I'm always skeptical of the, I'm going to bulk up for my pro day. I need to see you play at that. And so, you know, what do you sacrifice if you gain weight? And does just having more mass make you a better tackler? Cause some of that can be a mental thing as well, but he plays the ball well, really good in coverage. There's just concerns tackling wise for me. And then on Kool-Aid McKinstry, I really like Kool-Aid. Now, his athletic testing wasn't great. He's really good in run support. He also was a punt returner over the last 2 years. He's got versatility in terms of coverage scheme. My question with him would be his long speed. And then also, you know, at the combine, they found out that he had a Jones fracture in his foot. And so that's always a little scary too, because now you throw a medical red flag on top of a guy that you were a little concerned with the functional athleticism to begin with. So that's kind of where I'm at on McKinstry. Just the injury scares me a little bit with him.
Yeah, fair enough. We're actually really similar, aren't we? I think we've got the exact same top five corners. You're slightly ahead on Quinion. I'm slightly ahead on Arnold, but very, very similar. Before we drop down a tier, is there anyone else you wanted to mention that you feel we haven't mentioned that's in play on defense at 22?
No, I think that's pretty much it. We'll go to a couple comments here real quick. Eagles Eric says they probably want a physical corner, but I think it will take too much to trade up for Mitchell. So they might do a small trade up for Arnold or DeJean. Trending on the AM says Howie playing chess, not checkers. Hopefully, I'd love to see a Howie masterpiece here. So, and then one last, Thomas on YouTube says, in the age of big tight ends making up large portions of teams' passing games, I definitely want a cornerback with a bigger frame or a safety, because a lot of times you'll end up with those safeties on them as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of big tight ends spit out wide as well, don't they? I think the run support thing you mentioned with Fangio is a big deal. I think we've seen corners in the past that aren't great at tackling. I think Slay's tried, but Bradbury has really struggled at it. And I think it has cost the Eagles. Let's move on to the tier below then. I have like only a couple that I'd be like not a huge fan of at 22, but also would consider them at like the end of the first. Those guys for me are Jared Verse, Edge, and Chop Robinson, also Edge. I feel like both of them have got slight weaknesses where I wouldn't like them enough at 22, although I know some people like them. I think Jared Verse is just like that powerful rusher who's jacked, really good athlete, wins of an explosive first step, speed to power. does he bend though? Does he turn the corner? I'm not sure he does. I'm not sure he's going to like bend the edge and beat top tackles. I'm not sure he's fluid enough. I compared him to like a slightly older career Brandon Graham, who just wins by physicality, but I'm not sure there's enough athleticism there to warrant a high pick. Chop Robinson is really interesting, just extremely athletic, extremely quick off the snap, very good leverage, really, really good athlete, really willing run defender despite being undersized. But what do you do with a guy who's never hit more than five sacks and doesn't convert pressures into sacks? Do you bank on the traits? I think the traits are like really strong with Chop Robinson, really strong. I think they're the only two that I've got left in my tier that like I wouldn't throw my toys out the pram. If that's an American phrase, I wouldn't get too upset.
It is not.
It is not. Wow, we've got another one. Throw your toys at the pram is like get really, really angry, like a baby who's lost their mind and just starts chucking everything out. I think you might call it buggy. I wouldn't go mad if Chop Robinson and Jared Verse were the picks, but I wouldn't be like particularly happy. I think it would be a huge bank on the traits. Before we drop down the tier into the second round, what do you think about those two? Are you quite clearly steering away from them at 22 as well? Where do you have those guys ranked on your board?
I would take Verse at 22. I have him ranked higher than that. Right. So he's the 13th overall player for me. I like Verse quite a bit.
Okay, you're much higher on him than me then.
One of my question marks on Verse, though, is I think he's an even front defensive end. And so you expect the Eagles to play more odd front. I don't think you're going to use him as like a stand-up rusher. I also don't know about using him as like an odd front defensive end as far as his skill set. You could. He's a really powerful player, like you mentioned. He doesn't have much in the way of like an inside counter move, and he's an older player. He'll be 24 as a rookie, he's got a cool story. He was unranked as a recruit and started his career at Albany and spent three seasons there before he transferred to Florida State. So that's why he's a little bit of an older prospect. But I would be fine with him as long as they had a plan, because I like the player. I question the fit. Chop Robinson's interesting. So what I've just put on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube is Chop Robinson's spider chart and Nolan Smith's spider chart. And I'm just telling you, if they like Nolan Smith, they're going to like Chop Robinson. They're both undersized. They're both ridiculously explosive. And neither of them really had college production. And so on the one hand, I say, you just took Nolan Smith. Do we really need to take another guy in this mold, especially when Nolan Smith couldn't get on the field? But the other side of me says, if we're going to bet on elite traits and assume we can coach it up, just maybe you just keep throwing the darts and you're going to hit one. And so it's like fourth downs, right? If you go for it on one fourth down and that's it, it could cost you a game, right? But if you consistently go for it on fourth downs and follow the analytics, you will sustain an edge, even though each individual attempt might not result in a positive outcome. You could make that argument with Chop Robinson and Nolan Smith. Like, you're betting on traits. You have to continue to bet on traits because eventually you'll hit one. So that would be the argument I would make if I was, you know, if I was trying to defend the Eagles taking Chop Robinson. But in reality, I am not sure I would be thrilled about taking the same profile player with a first round pick the year after Nolan Smith.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting, actually, as I said, I tried to do mine with an Eagles-specific mind. So when you ranked Verse at 13, everything you said is not that I disagree with, but basically I agree with you that I'm not sure he translates too well for what the Eagles want, because I think he's a little stiff to play really out wide in their five-man fronts. So actually, we're not too dissimilar, although you have him higher than me. I think you can see like both aspects. Right, let's get into a few other guys. I think you mentioned there was no one else in that tier for you. I've got loads of defenders the Eagles could consider in the second round. Absolutely loads. I won't discuss all of them. I think there's a few edge defenders that interest me. I'll throw out a few names, but there's a couple I really want to focus on because we won't go down every rabbit hole. I'll save that for last. Chris Braswell, a name that stands out for me at edge. There's a few edge I would consider taking: Darius Robinson, Braylon Trice, but Braswell in particular, because I've seen him cover tight ends sort of dropping into coverage from edge, which I think is a big win for the Eagles. So Braswell is someone I keep coming back to because I think his skill set fits what the Eagles want to do. I just don't think you can sort of teach the physicality and the speed that he plays with, and the fact that he combined that with the abilities drop into coverage. A defensive tackle, I've got two guys I really like. So I really, really like Brandon Fisk. I don't think the Eagles will, because I think he's a bit of a one gap player, not a, should we say, one and a half gap, as I like to describe Fangio as. I think Brandon Fisk is a bit more like one gap, just get upfield. But I'm an absolute sucker, Shane, for defenders that just jump off the screen, like just ridiculously elite speed, like slightly short arms. I worry about his run defense, but he would be someone, if you want to just get after the quarterback and just say go, he would be my pick. I think they might have more interest in Chris Jenkins, who is one of those guys that hasn't really put it all together yet. But I think he's a top, top run defender. And if the Eagles decide that they want more of a strong run defense, and I think he's someone that you can take in the second. And I think whether he develops as a pass rusher remains to be seen, but I think he's got the tools that look like he should be able to. So they're two guys that I would throw out there as well. And just to give you a few more before I get on the positions that I wanted to discuss, I'm all over the place on cornerback in this draft, like all over the place. I've seen guys that I respect say they take Max Melton in the first, and I'm just like, fair enough. I didn't see it. For me, he's a like round two, round three player. I want to discuss linebacker and safety, because they're the positions of interest. I also really like Rakestraw, by the way, the cornerback who just seems to hit everything really hard. If the Eagles just want like a fun corner who's going to just take absolutely no nonsense in run defense, then he's someone that interests me because he just seems to hit everything. But ball production is a huge problem with Rakestraw. One interception in his last 36 starts, had a torn ACL, slightly undersized. So I'm not really huge on that level of cornerback, which is another reason why I think Calder might go round one, because I don't see a great deal. Every time I do a mock draft, I never end up taking anyone in the second round. I know I've just waffled on about loads of names and then said I don't want to discuss those names too much, because I want to focus on linebacker and safety, because I think there's a real couple of interesting discussions to have there. But anyone that I mentioned there, Shane, that you wanted to sort of bounce off me, Jenkins, Fisk, Braswell, anyone stand out of the ones I just mentioned that you wanted to mention as well?
Yeah, so I'll start with a couple of the edge rushers you mentioned. So Chris Braswell, Eagles Eric says he's massively underrated, a pocket collapser with drop coverage ability. He's the number 32 player on my big board. So I'd love him at 50. I don't know that he'll be there. He's a really solid pass rusher. He's not, Alabama often kept him on the sidelines on rundowns. He's not a very good run defender. And so, you know, you balance all that out again, but he's got a bit of a false step that slows his get off at times, but when he eliminates that, like, he's got an impressive get off the ball. He's a solid bull rusher, decent array of pass rush moves, high motor player. I like him. Darius Robinson's a guy that I love his fit with the Eagles. He is 6'5", 285 pounds, which is 86th and 91st percentile respectively. He had a 7.75 relative athletic score. I said he's the best run defending edge in this class. He could play defensive end in an even or an odd front. I said he could potentially kick inside to a three technique in even fronts and play like a little defensive tackle if he puts on a little more weight. He does not have like the best pass rush moves, pass rush plans. He pretty much is just going to bull rush you, but he's a really good run defender. I had him at 46 on my big board and love his fit with the Eagles. And now news has come out that like he's one of the players that was invited to the draft. And so they typically don't invite these guys if they don't expect them to go first round. So there's at least a contingent of the league that is higher on Robinson than I was. I don't think he's going to be there where the Eagles are picking in the second round. But if he is, I would sprint that one into the podium.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like we don't discuss players, Shane, and then I read my notes and they're really similar. I think we speak so much about football that we see players very similar. So I literally put for my Eagles comments, I said, if the Eagles think he could be a versatile edge who could play five technique in odd fronts as well, then he has really high value in the Fangio scheme. I even said, I think 22 is too high for him, but I would not be shocked if the Eagles see him as a unique talent that will fit the Fangio scheme that well that he may be worthy of a first round pick. So I had him as a second round pick. I had him around you, like in the 40s. But it's really interesting that when you mentioned about him going in the first round, I've literally got on my own notes that I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles see him as a unique talent who fits the scheme that well. So he could be a name to look out for on defense. Right. Anybody else? Who else did I throw out at you? I threw out Rake Straw at you and the two defensive tackles. Did you want to mention them or are you similar to me? If not, I'll move on to linebacker and safety, which I want to look at.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar to you. We'll go ahead and just move on here. I will mention Rake Straw has some injury concerns as well. Torn ACL in 2021, groin injury in 2023, and then he had surgery to repair a core muscle injury that caused him to miss the Senior Bowl. So there will be teams that take him off their board entirely due to those medical concerns. So that's just worth noting. He's really good in run support, though. Eighth highest PFF run defense grade. And he's played almost 1,400 career snaps outside and 367 in the slot. So he's got some versatility inside out as well. But let's go on to these next tier players, especially the safeties and the linebackers. Who are you interested in there?
Yeah, so I find the...
Let's take linebacker first.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's take it one by one. I was going to be here for a while. So I don't know if I'm a little bit off the board on linebacker. Junior Colson's my number one guy for this team by, not by distance, actually. So I have two in this tier. I have Colson and Cooper. And as I said, I've tried to rank them based on the Eagles scheme. I can see why some teams would prefer Edger and Cooper because he's the athlete. The reason why I've gone with Colson is I think the Eagles already have athletes at linebacker. And I've literally put in my notes, I think it's a really interesting discussion over who the Eagles should prioritize. Do you want the athlete or the instinctive player, the high upside or the high floor? Considering the Eagles already have two athletic but inconsistent linebackers, I would rather take Colson as, in my opinion, a very safe starter who will give the Eagles some stable linebacker play for a long time. So I prefer Colson and Cooper in that tier, but I prefer Colson above him. I think teams are going to fall in love with Peyton Wilson because he's 6'4", 233 pounds, 4.4340. Like the trigger to get downhill is ridiculous. And I think linebacker matters in terms of team speed. I think quite simply, if your linebackers are fast, your defense looks fast. And I think you can't ignore that. But I've also seen things like double-digit surgeries. He's really skinny. I think he's 24 come draft day. So I knocked Peyton Wilson a tier below Cooper and Colson. They're like the only guys I would consider in this range. Am I missing anyone? And how do you rank the three that I've mentioned as well?
So overall, I have Edger and Cooper as my linebacker one. And then I have Peyton Wilson, linebacker two. Obviously with the medical concerns there. And then Junior Colson is my linebacker three.
Interesting.
I will say, I love the fit of Junior Colson with the Eagles because I think he's a Mike linebacker, right? I mean, he could be a Sam linebacker, but he's a Mike linebacker. And you think about who the Eagles have. Devin White, obviously it's a one-year thing. He's not a Mike linebacker. Nakobe Dean will never be a Mike linebacker. And so you need a bigger bodied guy at linebacker. And I like Junior Colson for that. He's got good speed. He diagnoses play action quickly. He's a really good tackler, NFL ready frame at 6'3", 245 pounds. And he's a tough player. Now, I say he's a tough player. You could say he's got injury concerns, but he played through a foot injury that had him in a boot during the week in 2022, and then he played with a broken hand in 2023. I wouldn't call that injury prone. I'd call it bad luck. I would consider it injury prone when you start repeating injuries. That's just my personal thing, but he's a tough player. I don't think he has the best instincts against the run at times. Sometimes you'll see him like hitting the wrong hole or sometimes he just like runs into a blocker, and I'm not sure if it's because he's not diagnosing it correctly or because he just wants to hit somebody instead of trying to get off a block. But I do like Junior Colson as a fit for the Eagles. I also really like Peyton Wilson, but I mean, there's no denying the medical concerns there. Tore his ACL his senior year in high school. He tore it again in summer training camp in 2018 and missed his first year at NC State. He had a season-ending shoulder injury in 2021 after two games. In 2022, he missed a game with a shoulder injury, and so he'll be 24 on draft night. I really like the player, but that injury history is very concerning. And I like Edger and Cooper. I mean, I would like to see him on the Eagles. I just think it's a weaker linebacker class, and he's not going to, I don't think he'll be on the board at 50. I think somebody's going to take him earlier than that.
Yeah, fair enough, because he's such an elite athlete. I don't really have any other linebackers in this tier, so I'll move to safety. Safety, I am all over the board on Shane. I literally think I could rank my top six in pretty much any order at times. I've gone with two for round two, but then there's also two guys I think I'd consider, and to be honest, I wouldn't hate it if they picked the other guy. I have, if I pronounce him correctly, is it Tyler Newbin, as my top safety for the Eagles. And then I had Cole Bishop in this tier as well. Tyler Newbin, I just thought, like, in terms of versatility, I think in a quarters-based Fangio system, I think he's really good as a split safety. I'm not sure he can come down and handle man coverage, which we know the Eagles like to do quite a lot of in terms of their safeties. But ball skills, versatility, I think he's got 13 career interceptions. He seems to read the defense very well, and he's very strong coming downhill. But I don't think he tested particularly well, which is where I worry about the ability to match up. Cole Bishop's like the opposite, like freak testing, 9.88 RAS score, size, physicality, athleticism, can definitely play more as a single high safety if you wanted him at times with the range. In my opinion, he kind of, though some people aren't sure about him playing there. I think he would also have the ability to come downhill as like the robber in more single high stuff that the Eagles do. So I like those two quite a lot. They're probably my top two. But then I'm also really intrigued, and I wouldn't take them this early, I don't think, but Javon Bullard and Kalen Bullock, I think, are really interesting as well. All the safeties are like really different profiles in this class, which is where I find it quite interesting. Like Kalen Bullock, I think, might be the best coverage safety I've seen, but I really worry about his play against the run. And we know how much Fangio safeties have to fit from depth. They have to get up and handle run defense. I'm not sure he is there, which is why I'm like unsure on him. And Bullard's a bit of the opposite, like really aggressive, really fiery, but he's really inconsistent coming downhill. Like he just misses too many tackles. He seems to hit someone or miss. But I also think he's got slot quarterback versatility, really good in zone coverage. What I really liked about Bullard you see a lot of times on tape when he handles crossers and receivers like coming across the field. And we know how much Fangio loves that. When you're in that split safety, basically, you want to go back into the existence. One of the huge reasons why teams start running it is because the McVay tree were killing single high safeties with these deep over routes. And I think Bullard is really good at that. But I'll be honest, like full disclosure, I try to watch as much of these guys. I sometimes doubt myself. I'm a little bit all over the place on those four. I think I would be happy with them, but I also think they've all got weaknesses. So I'm interested, as somebody who is maybe been ranking them throughout the year a little bit more than me, what do you think of those four? And am I missing anyone in that tier? Because I think there's a couple that I could push up that I want to mention as well. So hit me with your opinions on those four, basically.
So my safeties are ranked Tyler Newbin, number one. He's at 30 overall on my board. Javon Bullard is number two at 62 overall. So I've got a pretty big gap.
Huge. All right, interesting. Yeah, I've got Bishop closer to Newbin, but interesting.
Then I go Kalen Bullock, three at 69 overall. Cameron Kinchins, four at 70 overall. And Cole Bishop is my safety, five at 83 overall. For Newbin, I love Tyler Newbin. Now his athletic testing is a little concerning. He ran a 4.59 40. I just don't think he's that slow. I just don't. And like watching him, I've decided I'm not going to let a 40 yard dash, which has almost no bearing, no correlation to actual football speed, talk me off of this guy. He's got a quick trigger in the running game. He's got elite ball skills. His 13 interceptions are the all-time record at Minnesota. He's got special team, 681 career snaps on special teams. I'm not saying he's got elite speed or anything. I think he's got adequate speed, and he's going to fit well for a split safety scheme, which is what Fangio likes to run. And you're not going to end up with, you don't want him in center field. And I don't think you're going to end up with that. So I really like Tyler Newbin. And then I start to get down my board and you get to Javon Bullard, who's a guy I like, you know, in the back of the second round. And I think he's got the thing with Bullard is he has the frame of a nickel cornerback. He's small, 5'10 and a half, 198 pounds, but he has the speed of a safety. His 4.47 40. That's not terrible for a nickel cornerback, but it's not great. It's more safety speed, but he's fearless as a tackler. Like, he won't back down from anybody, but he's also inconsistent. Like, he kind of gets caught diving at legs a little bit. He lacks a little bit of recovery speed if he's beaten. I really like Javon Bullard in a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson type role as well. Like, to me, Javon Bullard and Sidney Brown are a lot similar in their fit. I like him as a third safety, like slash a big nickel. You can put him in the slot. You can put him in the box. You could put him as your third safety. So I like him, but I just wonder with Sidney Brown if Bullard is realistic. And then you said you really liked Cole Bishop. I know Dives from the BGN draft show, he's higher on Cole Bishop than I am. He has him at 66 overall. I've got him a little lower down my board at 83 overall. So I would view him as like we traded out of a second round pick into the third round sort of candidate.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not like, as I said, I go back and forth on Bishop. Like, when you look at my negatives, it doesn't sound particularly positive. I say I think he's going to struggle with man coverage. I'm not sure about the length of the catch point. He's too aggressive at times and can get beaten by double moves and play fakes. I think he could fit really... I think basically with Bishop, it comes down to the debate I see online is, do you think he can play single high safety as well? I think if you think he has the range, then he's got quite a lot of fit. But if you think he can't handle that, but I think he comes a little bit of a box safety vibes, which isn't ideal. The one position I'm really interested to get your opinion on, Shane, is cornerback, because people seem to be all over the place with like Max Melton and Lassiter. They seem to go earlier than I rank them. So I don't really love any of Kamari Lassiter, Max Melton, TJ Temper, or TJ Temper, or Mike Sandstrill. I have in like my rounds 2 to 3, but then a lot of them have been going way higher than me. So rather than throw out every name as looking at the time, we should probably round up in the next 15 or so, and I want to mention a few round 3 players, is there any of those guys that you wanted to mention in that round 2 range? And if so, tell me why.
Yeah, I really like Kamari Lassiter. He's the number 30 player on my big board. I think he's scheme diverse. I think he's a guy that could be a candidate to move into the slot in the NFL, but he never did that in college, which makes that a bit of a projection. But he's really physical. He's a good blitzer off the edge. He's a good tackler who's not afraid to take on bigger guys, and all that screams like, move you into the slot where we can blitz you. You're in a run fit, all of those sorts of things. And he's got really quick feet and loads of agility, and he's undersized. And so like all of that just screams slot cornerback to me. But he just didn't do it in college. And so it's a bit of a projection there. He's a gambler without much ball production. He's only got one interception and 854 coverage snaps. And so that's concerning a little bit with Kamari Lassiter. I certainly understand why people are lower on Lassiter than I am. But two of the guys you mentioned that I really like as slot cornerbacks is Mike Sandrastil out of Michigan. He's number 47 on my big board. I think he's a plus special teamer. He's a slot only player. But I think he's got really good ball skills. He's a former converted wide receiver, so you would expect good ball skills, and he just understands what's happening in front of him. And I think that's that wide receiver background. He's also got, you know, a lot of special team snaps, so you could consider him a good fit for there. And then Max Melton. I love Max Melton. Now, I couldn't get him as high as I kind of wanted to on my board. He's at like 64 overall. His brother, Bo Melton, by the way, a wide receiver for the Packers, if the last name sounds familiar. But Max Melton had a 9.58 relative athletic score. He's got really good awareness in zone coverage. I think he anticipates routes well. He's got 3, 2, and 3 interceptions in each of the last 3 seasons. He's an aggressive run fitter. The thing with him is, kind of like Kamari Lassiter, he hasn't played much in the slot, only 108 slot snaps versus 1,700 outside. But I think he is a slot corner in the NFL. But he was really impressive at the Senior Bowl playing out of the slot. So if the Eagles are looking for a slot cornerback on day 2, because, you know, Avante Maddox can't stay healthy, he's only back on a 1-year deal, I would like either one of those guys to come in as your slot corner of the future.
Interesting. You read my mind with Lassiter, by the way. I basically said in my weaknesses, it's a real shame he doesn't have much slot experience because he looks like a slot corner to me. He had a really weird testing, didn't he? Like free cone off the chart and then a 4.64 40, which is like, what is going on there? I like him as well, but the testing is a bit random. I find all those cornerbacks a little bit nervy if they took him in the second, which might be another reason why they go cornerback earlier. Right, moving on. There was a few other defensive tackles I had around that area, but looking at time, I mentioned Fisk and Jenkins, our main two. I wanted to give you a few round three names. So just a few guys maybe we'll have a look at now, wrapping up, looking at maybe ahead to day three and day four. Trevin Wallace, if that's how you pronounce him, linebacker. He seemed to be like way down in like round six, round seven at the start of the process. Now people seem to be talking about him as like a top three, top four linebacker in this class. I have him as linebacker four. I would love him in the third round. I think he's basically an athlete who needs a little bit of production, shall we say, and his instincts can be a little bit off at times, but I think he's got real potential. The guys I wanted to give you are a few, actually. Opinions on, I'm going to mention safety again while we mentioned it. Jalen Hicks, I really like, but the one that I'm really interested in is Malik, is it Mustafa? Reason being, the more I watched him, he's just such a good tackling defensive back, and he looks so good at coming downhill and playing split safety. I think basically if you want to just stick someone in quarters on early downs and tell him just to play basically split safety coverage and come down here in the run game, I really like him in round three. He's not a playmaker. His ball production's not great. I don't think he's going to be able to handle man coverage or single high. But if you want like a certain player for a very specific scheme, he is somebody that I would really keep an eye out for day three. I have a feeling the Eagles are going to really like him in this system. Then there's some fascinating edge guys where people are all over the board on them. Some people seem to love guys like Austin Booker. Is it Adisor Isaac? In like round two, and I'm really not there, but Isaac's probably my favorite of the bunch of rotational edge rushers that I had. 90th percentile wingspan, extremely well in the free cone, and really, really good contact balance. I know we often talk about contact balance when it comes to running backs, but I think that's a really important trait for edge defenders as well. What happens if the offensive lineman gets their hands in their chest? Can they recover? But the pressure numbers were sort of non-existent. He can get moved in the run game. He didn't look like somebody who bent the edge that well, but he tested well. So he's like my favorite of the rotational edge rushers. But then I hear people talking about him going a lot earlier. And I'm going to throw out one final name, Jeremiah Trotter. I can't help it. It's the links. I don't particularly love the film, but you've got the football background. You've got the Eagles history. Would I hate it in round three? Not really. I think he's good enough sideline to sideline. The instincts are there. Zone coverage, the way he reads the quarterback is really strong. He's just unfortunately like a bit small. He's a bit small and it shows on the field. He's not going to take on guards at the point of attack. But there are a few names for the listeners that I think the Eagles might have interest in the third round. Do you want to double down on any of those names as well, or maybe throw out some day three names as well, Shane?
Yeah, I'll throw out one guy that I don't think is day three, but he's maybe like late second, early third.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, edge rusher Braylon Trice out of Washington. I'm higher on him than consensus.
I think I'm higher on him than you, Shane. I've got him in the tier above.
Okay. Well, he's 44 overall for me.
Okay, no, fair enough. No, we're about the same. Yeah, I have him in my like Marshawn Neeland round, very much in the round two tier. I think he'll go round two, but maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe the NFL's lower than him on us. Anyway, tell me why you like him.
Yeah, he's a guy that I thought started the process a little higher and has kind of fallen out of discussions as it's gone on. But he's first in pressures each of the last two seasons with 80 in 2023 and 70 in 2022. True pass set win rate of 29% in 2023. He's not a very twitched up athlete. Like, he's fairly limited as a pass rusher to winning with power, but he's powerful, right? He's got a thick build. He plays with physicality. He's a good edge setter in the running game, and he can stack and shed blocks. High motor. He uses a club move really well. I like him as sort of your power rushing, run defending sort of defensive end. And I do think he fits a little better as like an even front defensive end. And so, you know, you have that going for you. But I do like Braylon Trice quite a bit. And then I want to talk about linebacker Cedric Gray as well out of UNC. He's just like, he's in a, got really good movement skills. He hit 20 miles per hour on the GPS this year. I think he reads quarterback's eyes and zone coverage really well, and he's able to tighten throwing windows because he's so athletic. And I think he's like decent at holding his ground in the running game. He keeps his pad level low, and he'll hit linemen and try to stack and shed. He's also got a high motor. He's a really good blitzer. He had a 21% pressure rate each of the last two seasons when he was asked to blitz. But he is a poor tackler. He missed 14.6% of his tackles in 2023, and he tends to dive for tackles. And I do think he's kind of got poor instincts against the run. He's very much a round three candidate for me. But he's, you know, he's athletic. You can use him as a blitzer, and maybe you can teach him the rest. So he's a guy that I'm interested in the third round.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad we both like Trice, because I really like Trice. I had a look, by the way, shout out to Arif Hassan on Twitter. I subscribe to his Substack, The Wide Left, and he does his consensus big board. And he has Trice at 64 in the consensus big board, which when I read my notes and basically look at, right, production, outstanding, first in the FBS in total pressures in both 2022 and 2023. Really quick off the ball, violent hands, physical, aggressive profile, plays hard every snap, can move linemen with speed to power when he gets going. Now, I'm guessing the reason why is I'm reading the comments. Sack totals are lower despite the pressure, which, and again, we spoke about this with someone like Reddick actually in the season. It does matter if you finish. If you're getting a lot of pressure and not a lot of sacks, it might be that you're taking time to win. Arm length is a slight worry. Does he have the length to bend the edge? Testing was average and run defense was average. I described him as a bit of a high floor, low ceiling. So I'm not sure how good he'll be, but I think he's going to be good enough. So I think for a second round, sometimes we, as fans, we always want to swing for the fences and take the athlete. Sometimes just take the good football player. Like in the second round, if Braylon Trice is there and you don't like the ball too much, why not? I'll finish by throwing out a few random sort of day three. I know we said we do sort of day one and day two, but a couple of other names for you of guys I think the Eagles might have interest in. I'll give you two random names. You've mentioned Kinchins. I'm not as high on him, just FYI, because I found him a little bit too regressive. Like it looked a bit boom bust for me. And I think philosophically, the way I see safety is like, don't do that. some of the guys that are all over the place. One of the ones that I see mocked in the second and then round four is Jonah Ellis. I had him in rounds three to four, but I've seen some people rank him in the second, and I can sort of see why. Just elite burst off the ball, 20 years old, free cone drill is pro day. I think like broke free cone records, but I get scared about looking at pro days. I also think every game I watched, the system he played in at Utah, he just had a lot of one-on-ones. Like he didn't seem to be the priority for offensive lines to stop. And it's always a little bit of a concern. Look at how other coaches view you. And then I'll give you a totally random name that I don't really see anyone discuss. I take him in literally every mock draft. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Nehemiah Pritchett at cornerback. I'm throwing him out there as like a late pick. You've already mentioned about special teams being important. And I think we keep talking about returners in special teams. But I also think players that can obviously play on special teams from the other side is important. He tested really well at the combine in terms of speed and explosiveness, has good hip flexibility, basically like a tall, long, speedy outside cornerback who's lightweight. And I think he's got a lot of work to do. And it might be that he can never get that work at 23 years old as a four-year starter. But I'm a bit of a sucker for six-foot guys who run well. In day three at that point, I'm like, worst case, I'll use you on special teams. Before we finish up, Shane, I would like to point out I'm very sad because we've done two podcasts and you finally mentioned the guy that I didn't watch. So I've watched 105 this year. And I thought I covered day one and day two. And then you threw out Cedric Gray and I've heard his name and I was hoping that I was going to mention him and I was going to slide under the radar and pretend like I'd managed to watch everyone. And now you have finally mentioned someone right at the end that I have not watched, which means with 2 days left of the draft, I'm going to go and suffer and go and watch yet another player. But anyway, that's all I've really got, to be honest, from those two. I think we've covered a load of players there. So fans that want a bit more of an in-depth, but also quite a good outline, I think we've covered that, hopefully. Is there anyone else that you wanted to throw out there as a name that intrigues you? I lied. The only one I'll give you one more is Tavondre Sweat, because mm-hmm. they're basically a huge lump. And I think he might be too much of a huge lump to actually excel in this league. But he is a massive guy with character concerns. And if he does fall into day three, I'm sort of just like, screw it. Let's go for it. Because why the hell not have him rotate in for Jordan Davis? But I don't think I have anyone else that I want to throw out there. So I will leave it to you to finish with any other names, Shane, that you wanted to throw out there at the end.
Last name I'll throw out is Mason Smith, interior defensive lineman out of LSU. He's a guy that just never put it all together at the collegiate level. In 2021, as a freshman, he played 354 snaps for LSU, and he was a freshman All-American. And then in 2022, he tore his ACL after only 8 snaps in the season opener. And then 2023, it just didn't really do a lot. But he's made Bruce Feldman's freak list, clocked 19.5 miles per hour on the GPS. He can touch 11 feet in a standing vertical jump. So he's got a lot of athleticism. He's got good length and a good spin move. He's just never put it together. Like, inconsistent pad level, inconsistent hand usage. He's hard to evaluate because he's missed so much football and he had a disappointing year in 2023. But he's a guy that I would be willing to throw a dart at in the third round and just say, hey, I'm going to bet on the Uber athlete that plays a position we're kind of deep at right now and see if we can bring him along. So Mason Smith's a guy that I like. He just never put it all together.
Yep, I've got Mason Smith. Sometimes, Shane, yeah, as I said, we're very similar on some of these players, which is always a good sign. Mason Smith was someone that I was going to throw out and I didn't. And I think I literally may have used very similar words. Physically outstanding, polarizing prospect who hasn't figured it out yet. Basically what you said there. So you can obviously see it. He was on Feldman's freaks list, who is always someone I look out for. Also, I lied. Maybe look at Michael Hall as well. I'm not really sure how the Eagles will use him because he's a bit all over the place in terms of where he actually plays. But if you think he could play inside, maybe 5 technique in odd fronts. He had the second best pass rush win rate, I believe, per PFF this year at a 9.56 RAS. I will end, seeing as it's the last podcast we do, before BT on, I believe that's Twitter or X, should we say, he said, what does my gut say? So, yeah, my gut will be to end it with my final prediction. I think I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean because I think he fits around time. I think we're going to go defense, and I think he fits like he'll be around about 20 to 22. As much as I would love some of the other players like Leo Tulatu, I think they're going to go earlier. I think he's a realistic pick who really, really fits the Fangio defense well and could be available around pick 20, which obviously is where the Eagles are going to end up picking.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean would have also been my answer to that question.
Classic.
I've been on the DeJean to the Eagles connection for like a month now, so I can't change it just for the sake of saying something different than Johnny because I've been there for a while. He also asked earlier, the Eagles are going to go DT again, aren't they?
Johnny Newton.
It is possible, yeah, Johnny Newton.
Very possible. If he falls, I'm telling you, he's good, man. He's good. Injury problems concerned. But Johnny Newton is not a joke. Like, if he falls, film-wise, I think he's my third or fourth best defensive player in the class. Yeah. So I really like him. And I think if the medical checks out, Eagles could definitely go in the trenches again.
Yeah. And then we'll end here. Brad from Facebook says, hey, guys, checking in. Thanks, Brad, and everybody else watching for joining this live show. Everybody that dropped comments, we enjoy interacting with you guys live on the show, so be sure and continue to do so. Just a little bit of housekeeping here. Johnny and I are planning to do a round one recap / round two preview show. It will be about this time, about noon Eastern on Friday. We're going to be able to put out a quick episode to let you guys know what we think of the Eagles round one selection, preview top targets for round two. That you guys can live stream or listen to prior to the draft Friday. We will be unable to do that for round two. So we'll be back next week in kind of our normal time slot, Tuesday or Wednesday around noon Eastern, to do an entire Eagles draft recap show. So that's what's coming up in the pipeline. Again, ratings and reviews greatly appreciated on podcasting platforms. You can check out our Patreon with the linked Discord server. It's patreon.com/onTheShanePage. If you have ideas for extra reward tiers or whatever, we're certainly open to that. We want to come up with whatever you guys would consider worth subscribing to. So podcasts will remain free. We're just trying to do some things to help us out on our end as supplementary. So we appreciate you guys in advance for that. Johnny, before we get out of here, any final thoughts, any last second draft takes you need to fire off before we go?
It's a dangerous question, Shane, because I could have gone on for ages and ages. So no, I think I've covered it all. I think it's a really interesting draft. I think the Eagles are in a really interesting position. I feel like they're not going to stick. I feel like it might be up or down because I feel like the lack of a third round pick really hits me hard in mock drafts. It really makes me upset. But I'm really looking forward to it. I think that it's an interesting class. I think there's some really talented players in day two and day three. There's a lot of athletes who need a bit of work. I feel like 22 is just slightly in no man's land. I think some of the guys they want may have been gone and they might be reaching on some of the other guys. So if I had to predict, I think they'll move up or down, which is hardly a great prediction, isn't it? Radical. Howie Roseman moves up and down, breaking news, but I would be surprised. But yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get back to it Friday. We should be able to. That'd be very odd for me because as a Brit, I'll be watching it in the morning. So I will literally be reacting very shortly after, even though it's the day after. But yeah, I'm buzzing. This is the most work I've done draft season ever. I've never hit over 100 prospects in my life covering this thing. So I'm incredibly excited, not just for the Eagles, but for the whole thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. If you are someone who will not be sleeping through the draft, like Johnny, you can come hang out on the Edge of Philly Sports Watch Party show. It goes live at 7 p.m. Eastern, both Thursday and Friday night. I'll be on there along with some of the guys from the BGN draft show. If you were listeners to that, you don't need to watch the draft. Just throw us on the TV. We're going to be announcing the picks. We're going to be talking about the players. It'll be a great time. So come hang out in the comments. I mean, you can watch Mel Kiper, but he won't read your comments live on the air. And we'll do that. So come hang out with us. That's one of our favorite things we get to do every year. So come hang out with us on Thursday night. And then Johnny and I will be back Friday afternoon to recap the draft. So we will catch you guys then.